Friday, April 26, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you, and you might not realize it, but April 26th is actually National Richter Scale Day. Yes, the day honors the birth of the Richter Scale inventor, Charles F. Richter, who was born on April 26th back in 1900. Richter was an American seismologist and physicist, most famous as the inventor of the Richter magnitude scale, which quantifies the size of earthquakes. Now, the United States Geological Service records show that the biggest earthquake since 1900 was in Chile in May 1960. It measured a 9.5 on the Richter scale. It is known as the Great Chilean Earthquake. Now, what in the world does this have to do with sports? Well, I'll tell you. We know the NFL draft began last night. And you know, back in 1999, the Detroit Lions made a selection that may have actually made the Richter scale jump at least a little bit, because they selected Wisconsin offensive lineman Aaron Gibson. And that guy made other football players look small by comparison. Do you realize Aaron Gibson is one of the largest human beings to ever play in the NFL? He was 6'6", and they have him listed at 410 pounds. Now, Gibson wasn't a great lineman, but he was a huge dude. Unfortunately, he didn't last all that long in the league, but wow, could he make that Richter scale jump? That is a large, large guy. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe tell us your favorite sports giant. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a suggestion for us. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a question. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com, where you can find the latest Daily Dose gear. Just search Daily Dose when you get there. Scroll down until you see our logo, and there you will find a number of Daily Dose items, from t-shirts to hoodies to stickers to notebooks. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be recapping the first round of that NFL draft that took place last night. And then we will also be bringing you a weekend sports preview. Got a few things for you to watch this weekend. And we will have our Daily Dose Top 5 for you as well. You know you have to tune in on Fridays for the Daily Dose Top 5. And real quick, before we get to the NFL draft, we do have a little sad news, as Boston Celtics legend John Havlicek passed away yesterday due to some complications with Parkinson's disease that he did have. Havlicek played 16 seasons in the NBA, all with the Boston Celtics. He made 13 All-Star teams. He was an 11-time All-Star selection before going into the Basketball Hall of Fame back in 1984. You know, the NBA named Havlicek on its list of the 50 greatest players to ever play in the league. And Havlicek was actually the guy that created what we think of now, the sixth man. Someone who came in off the bench, but brought energy and brought scoring to the lineup. You know, Havlicek averaged 20.8 points per game, 6.3 rebounds a game, nearly 5 assists per game, and over a steal every single time he stepped on the floor in his career. He is the Celtics' all-time leader in points scored and in games played. He ranks second in assists. John Havlicek was a great rebounder. He was just a complete player. And he did something, like I said, that was special that we didn't see much of. He didn't start many games, but he finished almost all of those games. John Havlicek, a big loss in NBA history. Now, let's talk some of that NFL draft, as the Arizona Cardinals did, well, what they acted like maybe they wouldn't do, but they select Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray with the top overall pick in last night's 2019 NFL draft. Now, I don't know what they end up doing with Josh Rosen, but they have a decision to make. Maybe you try to deal him. Maybe you just try to get him to stop crying. Maybe you keep him and you use him as a backup. I don't know what they do with Josh Rosen, but they do have Kyler Murray now, a guy who will give the Arizona Cardinals, you know, some personality. I would tune in to watch the Arizona Cardinals now just to watch Kyler Murray, and I would not tune in to watch the Arizona Cardinals before that. So that is a big get for Arizona. The San Francisco 49ers made me very happy when they selected the guy that said on his Twitter that he likes Donald Trump, and he called Colin Kaepernick a clown because they grabbed Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa, making me smile and just making me feel all warm inside. The New York Jets took yet another defensive lineman, and then at pick number 4, well, things got interesting. Let's just say that. Because the Oakland Raiders were on the clock at number 4. And you know, there are two lines of thinking when we look at these present-day Oakland Raiders, aren't there? Either head coach John Gruden is outsmarting everyone and just stockpiling picks that he is going to use to return the Raiders to excellence, or John Gruden is kind of a moron and he is just running the Raiders even further into the ground. Well, after the draft last night, I'm not exactly sure which way to go because it did seem to start a little bit slow. With guys like Josh Allen, Devin White, and Ed Oliver on the board, with the number 4 pick, the Oakland Raiders selected Clemson defensive end Cleveland Farrell. Interesting. And I know what a lot of people are saying today. A lot of people are saying, hey, if you find the guy that you like, then you just go get him. Well, okay. But that's kind of like saying you found the item you like at a store, so you didn't go look for a sale on that item. I mean, you got the item you wanted, but you might have overpaid for it. Getting Cleveland Farrell at number 4? I mean, honestly, you might have gotten him clear down at 24. So we'll see how that turns out. But then the Raiders used their second first round pick on Alabama running back Josh Jacobs. That might be okay. He's a tough kid. I kind of like the way he runs. Didn't see him that much because he split time in that Alabama backfield. But remember, this was the pick that they got for Khalil Mack. So Josh Jacobs had better be pretty special. Then, with their third pick of the first round that they got for Amari Cooper, the Raiders took Mississippi State safety Jonathan Abram. Again, the Raiders had 3 picks in the first round. They need to be good. We will see if they're going to be good, but those picks left me a little bit underwhelmed, and looking at Raider fans' reactions just on social media and some of the clips they showed last night during the draft, I would say Raider fans feel a little underwhelmed today as well. We'll see how those picks turn out. Couple of other notable picks though. The New York Giants look like they are making a move for their future as they grab Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. He will be learning under Eli Manning. I like Daniel Jones, but I'm not sure he's worthy of a top 6 selection. I guess we'll see how he does under Eli Manning. Couple of other picks to talk about. The Washington Redskins grabbed Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins at number 15. He says everyone made a mistake by passing him up. Does anyone want to tell Dwayne Haskins' femur about Washington's quarterback history? No! I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I feel like someone should do it. Just kind of throwing that out there. The New England Patriots pick up Arizona State wide receiver N'Keal Harry, who I actually like a lot. That might be a very good pick for the Patriots. And locally, my Denver Broncos absolutely shocked me by not taking Missouri quarterback Drew Locke, who I do not think was worthy of a first round pick. And instead, they traded down, got a couple of more picks, and then took Iowa tight end Noah Fant, a very athletic kid who should fill a need for the Broncos. I will come in off my ledge for now, but I do know Drew Locke is still lurking out there. So I could end up back out on that ledge, but for right now, I'll stay inside. It was an interesting night in the NFL draft last night, and of course, we will be recapping all of those picks for you next week. Coming back, we will have our weekend sports preview. Hey, there are going to be a number of things for you to watch this weekend. You're going to want to make sure that you kind of plan your schedule. And no, I'm not talking about watching some Avengers Endgame or your Game of Thrones dragon porn. I'm talking about sports events. Make sure you clear that calendar. We've got a number of things for you to watch this weekend. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises. But if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. We do try to do this every Friday and let you know some of the upcoming events that are going to be worth your time to watch. Just to make you aware, maybe you need to block off some space for a specific event. Maybe you need to make sure you are near a TV or you are with some friends to watch that big game that you know you wanted to see. You don't want to be the person that completely spaced on it. On Fridays, we try to let you know when the best events are going to be. We do also pick the outcome of those events, kind of keep track of how we do each week, and just kind of let you know which way we think the games are going to go. And remember, all times given are mountain time zones, so adjust your schedule accordingly. So let's jump in because we've got a number of things for you to watch this weekend. And let's get started tonight because don't forget, at 5 p.m., the NFL draft does continue. We will have rounds 2 and 3 going until, I don't know, probably 9:30 tonight. And you know, we talked about it earlier this week. We have a ton of talented defensive linemen in this draft. You could see a few more going tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Plus, we're going to have some of those small school players we talked about earlier this week. They are going to start coming off the board probably earlier than maybe people think. I wouldn't be surprised a bit to see a few of them go tonight. But if you are looking for actual games, I've got a Major League Baseball series for you tonight going to be going all weekend that might be worth your time. Because also tonight at 5 p.m., we have the Oakland A's going to Toronto to face the Blue Jays. Now, the A's have started off a little bit slower than you know they would have liked to have, primarily because their pitching has really been struggling. But they have warmed up a little this week, and they're going to need to continue that trend because the Toronto Blue Jays have now dropped below 500. So they're not playing great, but they are going to be getting a lift from top prospect Vlad Guerrero Jr. this weekend. He is joining the team. He is making his major league debut tonight. Hey, you know the home Toronto crowd is going to be excited to see the son of a former great. They might even forget about how the Maple Leafs choked again this year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, it probably won't be that exciting. But A's versus Toronto might not be too bad. I will take the Blue Jays at home in that one. One more Major League Baseball series to keep an eye on this weekend, and that is over in the National League, as the Pittsburgh Pirates will be going to Los Angeles for a series with the Dodgers. That first game will get started at 8 p.m. tonight. You know, the Pirates are getting surprisingly good pitching to start off the year. And as a result, they're just 2 games back in the NL Central right now. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, of course, are again most likely the most talented team in the National League. Despite some of their losses, they have reloaded and they have some good, young, talented players, and they are getting a ton of production from their bats. And that could be bad news for everyone else in the National League. I will take the Dodgers in that series. Also at 8 p.m. tonight, we have the NBA Western Conference first round game 6 between the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Clippers. And you know, this series has gone far too long already. But there are a couple of reasons why the Warriors and the Clippers are still battling. One, the Warriors seem really distracted to me, and they're starting to look like chemistry could be a problem on that team. They're playing poorly defensively, they're not attacking the basket like they used to, and there just seems to be kind of a funk and kind of a dark cloud around this team right now. I'm not sure what it is. Two, the Clippers, hey, they play really hard, and they're playing pretty smart. They're getting a ton off of their bench, and we know one of the biggest glaring weaknesses of this Warriors team, they're not very deep. Pressure is on the Golden State Warriors to finish this thing up tonight. If the Clippers do win, Game 7 would be on Sunday, but I'm going to take Golden State in this game tonight at 8 p.m. Also at 8 p.m. tonight, we do have Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals in the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Colorado Avalanche and the San Jose Sharks. You know, the Sharks survived their first round series with the Vegas Golden Knights in probably the most unlikely way possible earlier this week. Trailing 3-0 in the third period, the game is starting to get chippy. It's game 7. So now it's just starting to get a lot of fights, a lot of pushing and shoving. But Vegas center Cody Eakin takes a 5-minute major for cross-checking a Shark player, and the Sharks scored 4 goals in 4 minutes and came back and won the game in overtime. Meanwhile, we know Colorado beat Western Conference top seed Calgary in 5 games. This series is probably going to come down to the speed of Colorado versus the physicality of San Jose. I have to think San Jose's got to be a little bit hungover after that crazy win that they had on Tuesday in Game 7. I'm going to take the Avalanche on the road to steal Game 1. Moving on to Saturday, the 2019 NFL Draft will be wrapping up on Saturday as rounds 4 through 6 will be fast and furious as teams scoop up all those remaining players and hope to find a couple of diamonds on the last day. Just remember this, because I know a lot of times we look at that last day of the NFL Draft and we're like, snooze, who cares, don't even care about that. Keep an eye on it at least a little bit, because just remember, guys like Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Shannon Sharp, Mike Webster, a ton of others, they were also late round picks. Finding value on this last day, it can change your franchise completely. You just have to be smart enough to find those kind of players. We do have a Game 7 on Saturday in the NBA playoffs, although we don't exactly know what time that game is going to be. You just might want to keep an eye out for it, as the Denver Nuggets will be hosting the San Antonio Spurs in the final game of their first round series for the chance to advance and then play the Portland Trailblazers in the conference semifinals. The Spurs shot the ball very well last night in Game 6. Can they keep it up in Game 7? Honestly, yeah, they probably can. The way Denver played defense last night, that really scares me. It is a scary situation because Denver was in control in this series, up 3-2, and now they let San Antonio back into it. I think that is a very dangerous situation. I think I might actually pick the Spurs just because of their experience to win Game 7. Also on Saturday, and the NBA has not yet announced the start time, but keep an eye out for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors. Now remember, both of these teams lost their openers in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But then, each one of them also rolled off 4 straight wins to win their respective series in 5 games. Now, Philadelphia versus Toronto facing each other in the semifinals starting on Saturday. Here is the question that I guess I have, and I've got a few about this series. But here are a couple that I have in mind. Who do you trust more? Do you trust Toronto to actually win an important playoff series? Or do you trust Sixers big man Joel Embiid to actually stay healthy? Yeah, both are very dicey prospects. I actually like Kawhi Leonard to carry the Raptors in this series, and for that reason, I will take Toronto in this game. Moving on to Sunday at 11 a.m., we have the other side of the Eastern Conference semifinals in the NBA as the Boston Celtics will be going to Milwaukee to face the Bucks in Game 1. Now, the Celtics, we know, looked like they were stumbling coming down the stretch of the regular season, but they made very quick work of the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the postseason. Milwaukee, meanwhile, has really, they've been the most consistent team in the NBA all season. And they made quick work of the Detroit Pistons in the first round. That wasn't even close. Some of the things to watch in this series. Can Giannis Antetokounmpo play at the level that he has all year? And more important, can he get some help from his teammates? I look at the Boston Celtics, while they are goofy, I think they have the advantage in overall depth. But I also think if things do not go Boston's way, I think we could see the Celtics melt down very quickly if they have to face some adversity. I'm going to take Milwaukee in Game 1, and if I had to, I just might pick Milwaukee to win this series as well. And then starting at noon, the NASCAR group does go to Alabama for the Geico 500 at Talladega. Joey Logano is the defending champion from last year, but we also know Kyle Busch is rolling again this year, And this should be a nice shootout between the two of these because Bush and Logano are actually the top 2 point earners so far this season. Talladega on Sunday should have at least a little drama to it. And if it doesn't, we know NASCAR will try to inject some drama into it because that's just what they do. So like I said, a few interesting things for you to watch. NFL draft going all weekend. A few NBA playoff games that are going to be interesting. Got some Stanley Cup. Got some NASCAR. A couple of things for you to keep an eye on this weekend. Now, as we do every Friday, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, last night, the 2019 NFL draft got started in Nashville, and we saw Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray go to the Arizona Cardinals with the number one pick. Hey, I've told you, I like Kyler Murray a lot. I think he's a tough kid. I think he's such an athletic kid. I think he is a much better thrower downfield than people would think. Hopefully, Kyler Murray gives the Arizona Cardinals an identity. Hopefully, he has a long, successful career. But you know, it is really, really tough to be the top pick in the NFL draft. I mean, you get all the attention. You get the bigger contract. And a lot of times, you get your opponent's best shot every single time you step on the field. Today, on our Daily Dose Top 5, we are going to be counting down the top 5 number 1 overall picks. Yeah, that really struggled to wear that crown because they are the biggest busts from the last 40 years that were taken number one. Starting off at number five. You know, our number five entry attended Penn State University, where he played for coach Joe Paterno's Penn State Nittany Lions football team from 1996 until 2000. And as a senior, our number five entry was a first team All Big Ten selection. He was also a first team All-American. He earned the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and Defensive Lineman of the Year honors in his senior year. Hey, he looks like a can't-miss prospect. He finished his college career with an NCAA record-breaking 33 quarterback sacks and 70 tackles for loss. There's no way this guy isn't going to be good. He's going to be a great pro. At his pro day, he ran a 4.52 40, had a vertical leap of 37 inches, and he bench-pressed the 225 pounds 26 times. Courtney Brown was selected with the first overall pick of the 2000 NFL draft by the Cleveland Browns. He actually had a pretty productive rookie season. He recorded 69 tackles and 4.5 sacks. But his second season, yeah, we saw it get cut short due to injury. Brown played just 5 games, and then he just continued to have problems staying healthy for the rest of his career. From 2002 to 2004, Courtney Brown played in just 26 games. He recorded just 8 sacks. He finished his professional football career with the Denver Broncos in 2005. And in just 5 years, Courtney Brown was already out of the NFL. He comes in at number 5. Coming in at number 4. On our worst number 1 overall picks of the NFL draft. And the problem for our number 4 entry, there may have just been too high of expectations for him. I mean, in college, he was named All Southeastern Conference in both 1986 and 1987. He was also an All-American in 87. He was the Citrus Bowl MVP that year as well. And in a 1987 game against Georgia Tech, he intercepted 3 passes and returned 1 for a touchdown while making 10 unassisted tackles. Entering the 1988 NFL draft, people were talking about our number 4 entry, saying he was going to be the next Lawrence Taylor. This guy was can't miss. Yeah, and then Andre Bruce totally missed. He was selected with the first overall pick of the 1988 draft by the Atlanta Falcons. And although he was the first overall pick, he only even played his way into the starting lineup 42 games into his career. In 1991, I mean, he probably had his best season, and the Falcons were actually starting to feature him at tight end some, not just at linebacker. But you know, Andre Bruce didn't just get labeled as a bust. He kind of ruined the top pick for every linebacker since. Do you realize that since Andre Bruce in 1988, no other team has selected a linebacker with the number 1 overall pick of the NFL draft? Thanks, Andre Bruce. You ruined it for every other linebacker. He comes in at number 4. Moving on to number three. Our next player may not have been a guy with too high of expectations. More, he just wasn't capable of staying healthy at the next level because he was a star as a sophomore on a pretty good defense back in 1990. Washington went 10-2 and they won the Rose Bowl for the first time in 9 years. And this guy was considered the best overall player on that 1991 Washington Huskies undefeated national championship team. He was an All-American. He won the Outland Trophy. He won the Lombardi Award. He won the Bill Willis Award. And he was the UPI Lineman of the Year. In fact, Steve Empman even finished fourth on the ballot for the Heisman Trophy in 91. But Washington wasn't truly indicative of what Empman would see at the next level. He skipped his senior year and declared himself eligible for the 92 NFL Draft. Hey, he's 6'4", he's 290 pounds, and he went with the top overall pick to the Indianapolis Colts, and it started off pretty good. He actually had a really memorable play, getting a 90-yard interception return for a touchdown as the Colts beat the Dolphins in his rookie year. He ended up being named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. But Empman just couldn't stay healthy. He played a ton of his games for the Indianapolis Colts on that horrible AstroTurf, and he finished his first three seasons with the Colts on the injured reserve list. Just 9 games into his rookie year, he tore his patellar tendon in his right knee. That used to be an injury you didn't come back from. Empman came back from that. In 94, he came back, and on his first play, he tackled Seattle running back Chris Warren for a 5-yard loss, but he ended up rupturing a disc in his neck in a collision with a teammate later in the game. He managed to play 3 more weeks, but eventually the pain was just too much for him, and he ended up having season-ending surgery. Steve Empman's playing career was over after the 1997 season. He was only 27 years old. Empman comes in at number three. Moving on to number two, and I swear I'm not picking on Penn State guys, but our number two entry was also a Nittany Lion. But he was also another guy, as talented as he was, he just couldn't stay healthy. And I know when you hear this name, you automatically just think of underachievement. But when Kajana Carter was at Penn State, he really did. He looked like a can't-miss prospect. Now, to be fair, Penn State was loaded when Kajana Carter was there. They had Jeff Hardings. They had Joe Juravicius, Kerry Collins, OJ McDuffie, Bobby Engram, Kyle Brady. This Penn State team was pretty good. They went 12-0 in 1994, and Carter racked up nearly 3,000 yards in just 3 seasons. You might remember his best single game against Michigan State in 1994 when he rushed for 227 yards and scored 5 touchdowns. Hey, Kajana Carter was a can't-miss guy. He finished second in the Heisman Trophy, and then the Cincinnati Bengals selected Kajana Carter with the first overall pick of the 1995 NFL Draft. But Carter tore a ligament in his knee on his 3rd carry of his very first preseason game in his rookie year, and he was just never the same. He missed the entire 95 season. In 97, he suffered a torn rotator cuff in his left shoulder, missed the entire season. In 98, he missed the entire season because he broke his wrist. In 99, he missed the entire season because he dislocated his right kneecap. By 2002, Kajana Carter, a can't-miss prospect, was completely out of the league. All told, he rushed for just over 1,000 yards in his career. Kajana Carter comes in at number two. But if I am picking the worst number one pick overall in the NFL draft of the past 40 years, it has to be this guy. Because it wasn't actually the injuries for him. No, it was more of a just too much too soon for a guy that was not capable of handling it. And I do think there was also a lot of maybe inflated sense of who he was as a player. He was the star quarterback at a big-time SEC school. He physically checked every single box. He had a productive 2006 regular season. He led the LSU Tigers to a 10-2 record and took them to the BCS Sugar Bowl. He threw for over 3,000 yards and 28 touchdowns. Coming out of LSU, most experts thought that Jamarcus Russell could be a star. He had what many considered to be the greatest pro day in preparation for the NFL draft ever, which tells you a lot about what NFL pro days are really worth. Russell was selected by the Oakland Raiders as the number one overall pick in 2007. And you know, it's kind of interesting because in 2015, Matt Millen said in a radio interview that he warned former Oakland Raiders owner Al Davis to not draft Jamarcus Russell. According to Millen, Russell was struggling to pay attention just during an interview in his office when he went to visit with Detroit, who had the number 2 pick overall that year, and Millen ended up kicking Jamarcus out of the interview because he kept looking at his watch and not paying attention. Turns out, Matt Millen actually got something right while he was in Detroit. After failing to reach a contract agreement with the Raiders, Russell held out through training camp, and into the first week of the 2007 NFL season, he finally signed a $68 million with $31.5 million guaranteed contract in September. But from 2007 to 2009, Jamarcus Russell had a 7-18 record. He threw just 18 touchdowns. He had 23 interceptions. And most importantly, he didn't really show that he had any interest in improving as a player. They say the Raiders coaching staff would send him home with blank videos to watch. And then he'd come back the next day. They'd say, hey, did you watch your film? Yep, watched it. Never said a word about it because he wasn't watching anything. He really wasn't trying to improve. He ended up getting benched. He ended up gaining a ton of weight. And eventually, the Oakland Raiders would file a grievance against Jamarcus Russell, seeking $9.5 million back from him for what was paid as salary advances. He washed out of the league. He ended up being arrested in 2010 for having an inordinate amount of codeine cough syrup, and Jamarcus Russell would never play in the NFL again. Now, I hope that Kyler Murray does far better than these five guys. But like I said, being the top pick is never an easy thing. We saw five can't-miss players who missed and missed big. You have so much pressure on you when you are the number one pick. Hey, good luck to Kyler Murray. I hope he is able to turn that Arizona Cardinals franchise around and at least give them something to cheer about down there. And I hope your favorite team got exactly the players you wanted in the NFL draft. Hey, the good thing about it, no matter if they did or if they didn't, we know their front offices are going to tell us they did. Oh yeah, we got exactly who we wanted in the NFL draft. Yeah, sure you did. I don't believe that everyone got that, but that's what they tell us every single year. Hey, it is Friday, and we have made it through another week. Of course, next week, we will be recapping the NFL draft as well as looking at all the latest sports news. I'd say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you so much for letting a friend know to listen to the Daily Dose. We appreciate that so much. I'd say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.